around the NHL on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. Pat Steinberg, Rob Kerr along with you in studio on a Tuesday. We're at the Saddle Dome tomorrow.
Yeah!
Keys, we've got a special guest.
I might make it to that
3
point.
And 4, yeah.
Mike Civic's going to join us.
Thanks for ruining the tease.
What?
Mike Civic, former NHL linesman. I was expecting you to do that. Former NHL linesman. NHL linesman.
What do you mean former?
I don't know why I'm saying former.
Former.
NHL linesman Mike Civic. Big 88 is going to join us.
Holy.
And going to come and tell some stories with us.
He is going to, and he's a Calgarian. Everybody knows. I shouldn't assume everybody knows, but a lot of people have run into Mike. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, we
awesome.
Had him on for a segment before the lockout entity came in,
yeah.
And or maybe it was during the lockout, I don't remember, or after the lockout ended, but he came in and
yeah.
he did just one segment with us and told us a story about Tiger Williams. And some of the stories that he'll be able to tell, I'm looking forward to it.
Little known Mike Civic fact, collared overtime.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
Still?
I don't know if he still calls, but when I was doing overtime, Mike would call, and it took me... Like, it's a good caller and everything, you know, not rambunctious or anything like that. And, I think I know, but you don't, right? You talk to so many people. And then I got an email from him. Yeah, it was great talking to you last night on overtime. And then it clued
then
in.
It clicks,
and
it, right?
Every once in a while, yeah. Yeah, I'm just driving back from Edmonton. Of course you are. You just did the game up there and stuff.
Yes.
He is.
How do you know all this inside stuff about what was said on the ice? So Mike Civic between 3 and 4 tomorrow. Looking forward to that. We got four stories, rather, to hit as we go around the NHL. Let's start with an off day in the Cup Final.
The Boston Bruins. The Chicago Blackhawks.
I guess this is good news if you're the Blackhawks. Here's head coach Joel Quenneville on the status of Marian Hossa, who missed yesterday's Game 3.
We're not going to go exactly where the injury is or occurred, but I'm going to say he's likely to play tomorrow night. I guess that we'll go back to history on that one, that we don't disclose injuries, particularly come playoff time.
Okay, so he's not saying what the injury is, but the good news is that it looks like he'll be back in the lineup tomorrow. The Hawks lose Game 3 on the road in Boston, 2-0 at the hands of the Bruins. Tuukka Rask, a 28-save shutout, and not having Marian Hossa in a game where you're getting shut down like that's going to make life even more difficult.
He makes you a little more dynamic. He's probably would he be in your underappreciated list?
For me personally, no, because I've always been a huge fan of Hossa's.
I
think, by and large, maybe.
I think I get caught up in Taves and Kane and Patrick Sharp and then Seabrook and Keith. And then you go, oh, yeah, and then there's Hossa. And then you watch him, and he's still a really good player.
He's as smart as they come.
When this kid broke in with Ottawa, and I don't know if a lot of people remember that far back, he was a stud. I mean, he's been a really good hockey player, but I really thought in Ottawa he was going to be the next one.
He's one of those guys that advanced stats guys love. And
I have that backwards? Yeah, because then he went from Ottawa
Heatley for
that's
Hossa.
Right. Yeah, okay.
And as it turns out, I mean, you take a look
now
at the career progression.
Now I'm second-guessing everything.
Take a look where Heatley is. Take a look where Hossa is.
Yeah,
yeah, Hossa's continued that. And I'll tell you why advanced stats guys love Hossa so much.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who you can put on in any situation, and he's going to go out and get the job done. He plays extremely well inside his own zone, but more so, he just what he does once the puck is inside the blue line, he affects the puck staying there, and he affects shots on net, and has done so his entire career. Hossa is one of my favorite players to watch. He's a smart, smart hockey player with an extremely, extremely tough shot to stop.
Yeah, and a lot of coaches go, "Hey, go out and affect that puck in the offensive zone. Go affect that puck right now. Go affect it."
Very nice.
I love Vance stats guys. No, I love Vance stats too, but I do. We get caught up in the terminology. Crazy. Speaking of stats, crazy number though. For the last 6 Stanley Cups, he's participated in.
And
with three
only,
different teams.
He's only won once.
Yeah.
Lost with Pittsburgh, then lost with Detroit, finally won with Chicago.
When they played Pittsburgh, right?
He lost with Pittsburgh when they played Detroit.
Right, then,
lost Detroit when they played with Pittsburgh.
And won with Chicago.
When they beat Philly.
Thank you.
And now is back as they'll take
it. Isn't that a bizarre number?
Oh, it's crazy. And looks like he'll be back tomorrow, and they could use him. Hawks, they haven't scored a goal since the first period of Game 2. No goals in the second period, no goals in the third period, nothing in overtime, and then shut out through 3 periods last night. Here's Patrick Sharp. He needs to help that out.
I'm confident with the players we have on this team. I had no problem scoring goals ever, really, since I've been here. You know, we're in the Stanley Cup Final against a team that deserves to be here, that is here because of the way they play defensively and check away from the puck, so it's tough to score out there. But we got to find a way. We know what's on the line.
To your point earlier, I mean, yeah, the Hawks haven't scored, but I think a lot of credit has got to go to what the Boston Bruins do. It's no surprise the Bruins are always top five in terms of goals against. It's no surprise that they just don't give up a lot of goals, and that continues on into the Stanley Cup final. This is what they do, and they did that last night.
They did. Puck possession. They affected the faceoffs very well. 71, I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that. 71% of the faceoff circle.
Living up to your smarmy name.
Oh, I'm out of control. 71% of the faceoff circle. You know, they block 17 shots, Pat, added to that. They just did, you know, it's the old Matt Dunnigan line. You know, what are the details? Oh, they're the little things. Well, what are the little things? They're the details. I'm having one of those moods where I'm taking everybody with me.
No kidding.
But.
Bashing your way through the afternoon.
He knows more about sports in his little finger than you've ever forgotten in your hair. What? The little things.
Way to endear a guy to his listening audience. Yeah.
And he, I told you people. I warned everybody.
He wrote them himself.
I warned them earlier. Turn it off.
He came in one day with a list. He's like, hey, Kelly goes, hey, fella, I need you to
write
your own splitters. Yeah. Okay, here's what I got.
Well, you know, the other one I was thinking
about. The king of afternoon radio.
I thought the other one that was kind of appropriate that I got set up for big time, because I don't know if you heard, but Howie Schwab got fired last week from ESPN.
Well, did he really?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
You remember Stump the Schwab
Absolutely.
On the Score? And
I showed him around
right.
When he was here in Calgary for that playoff game against Detroit.
Kidsport brought him in as a fundraiser. Mike Richards hosted, and I was supposed to be there as the quiz master. And for some reason, the Rocket thought, you know what would be funny is if you and the Schwab went head-to-head. Yeah, he's on freaking TV doing this for a living, and you're going to sacrifice me at the altar of the Schwab.
Although I remember you did stump him on the phone with, you said, what former Temple quarterback is now the starting quarterback of the Calgary Stampeders?
That's right, I did.
And I
got him. Oh, I got the Schwab.
He didn't get Henry
Bruce. And eventually that led to his downfall.
Yeah, that's why he was fired right. 9 years later.
9 years later. We got him. We got him! They did the little things, Pat. What are the little things?
Remember the popularity contest that we had?
Oh, yeah, that's the other one.
Who's more popular, Mike Richards and Rob Curry? Oh, you were so worried about it, but you won.
By 2,000 votes.
You won.
Not that I kept track. Yeah, but I did a song, and I think that really swayed the favor. I didn't do the song.
Graham did.
Graham did.
Yeah, but you were so worried about it.
Oh, I was petrified.
It's bringing me back to high school.
Yeah, I mean, it's a popularity contest. They sacrificed me at the altar of the
But
Schwab.
You won. And now you're a bully. You've let it go to your head.
You have no idea.
Now you've let it go to your head.
Stop listening, everybody. It's the little things, Pat. It's in the details.
All right, to the Bruins, where
block shots, face-offs. They hit them. They did all the little things.
Affecting the puck in the offensive zone.
They had 16 of 18 skaters play 10-plus minutes.
Here's Claude Julien, the head coach of the Bruins.
And they were gouging eyes, too.
He has a message for his team heading into tomorrow's Game 4.
Keep plugging away with those special teams, but at the same time, I'm not going to change my attitude as far as saying the 5-on-5 right now is just as important. So we got to continue to play well 5-on-5.
And you mentioned it's 16 of 18 Bruins and 18 of 18 Blackhawks.
Played
more than 10 minutes
The only thing
yesterday.
That would have made that clip better is if he came out and said, I told my guys, got to keep affecting the puck in the offensive zone.
It's been a pretty good team effort for the Bruins. Defenseman Zdeno Chara.
Playing as a team, we really were kind of, I don't want to say struggling, but we had really hard time against Toronto.
It was
kind of like the breaking series for us. And then when we move on, we start to play a lot better and I think that was a difference maker for us.
Chara played 25 minutes and 47 seconds to lead the Bruins. Duncan Keith led the way overall with 26 minutes and 21 seconds of ice time.
Do you remember
that?
4-1 Toronto third period.
Oh, how can you forget?
The shots of everybody in downtown Toronto and we're moving on. And to think this team, who only gave up 2 goals in 4 games to Pittsburgh, had given up 4 goals in that game alone at home. To the Maple Leafs.
Wipe the floor with the Rangers, let's not forget, too.
Right, so let's be a little careful about how we use history and who we make fun of and everything, because you never know.
Well, and there's your holy crap moment, because they have not looked back since then. They haven't.
And that's, it's kind of what I used to my point about Chicago. I don't think they're done yet. You know, any series that goes to seven games involves, the last time I checked, three teams losing three.
Mm-hmm.
So, can I see Boston winning that game tomorrow? Absolutely. But I certainly can see Chicago bouncing back.
Yeah, and I think Chicago's capable of playing a little bit better. Boston played their game and did so pretty much to perfection. Tuukka Rask, who we'll talk about a little bit later on, makes 28 stops for the shutout, and Boston is a 2-1 series lead heading into tomorrow's game for the TD Garden in Boston. 6 o'clock start. You'll hear it live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. That's what's happening with the Bruins and the Blackhawks.
The Detroit Red Wings.
They accomplished their number one goal of the offseason today by agreeing to a 3-year contract extension worth $22.5 million with Pavel Datsyuk. Ansar Khan from MLive.com joined the big show today. He feels it's a huge move for the Red Wings.
Oh, a great deal for the Red Wings. I mean, obviously, he's the cornerstone of this team, a guy that they couldn't do without. It would be hard to imagine what kind of shape this team would be like without this guy. He's just so important. He does so many things for this team. At both ends of the ice, in all situations. I mean, he's their best face-off guy, Selke Award finalist every year. He was their leading scorer this year, and he's just a magician with the puck. So they're very happy today in the Red Wings offices, as you can imagine, that they don't have to worry about it for the next 4 years. He'll be a Red Wing.
The deal pays him $7.5 million per. It starts in the 2014-2015 season because he has the 1 year left remaining on his current deal. His contract will start, or the extension will start, with him at the age of 36, so 36, 37, and 38. Now, the one thing that makes me worry less about that than it would with other guys is that the main reason why Datsyuk has had all this success is because of how he thinks and sees the game.
Yeah.
And clearly, his hands and his speed are not going to be anywhere near what they were at 37 as opposed to 29 or even 35.
And he's not even nearly the oldest player that they would have had lately.
Well, they've had some success with guys by the name of Chris Chelios or Nicklas Lidström.
Look, is it safe to say that this is a bridge contract for the Detroit Red Wings? That this is, this will get them to the next set. Now, I don't know if the next set is going to be as good as these guys were, Zetterberg and Datsyuk, or Yzerman and Shanahan beforehand. But you would think that Nyquist, Bruner, Anderson, they have a handful of these young men that, in the system that right now, I don't know, I'm assuming they're going to lose Filppula, but you never know.
Filppula, Bruner, Cleary, all unrestricted free agents.
Right. Bruner, I see Bruner going back there, don't you?
I would think, it makes the most sense. If you're him, you know what it's all about. You had success there.
So we'll go back to Anderson and Nyquist. They had some guys that came up from Grand Rapids this year. And we know there's the Detroit way, which is leave them there. I mean, we haven't even seen Landon Ferraro at the NHL level. He hasn't played a game. He's been down there for so long.
Well, Jimmy Howard was there for years.
Right. So you have essentially four more seasons with Datsyuk around. My guess is, this gives them a little insurance, gives them the bridge to that next group, what they should have in the next group or would like.
Only other interesting thing here was a month ago, 2 months ago, foregone conclusion that this is his farewell season next year, and he's signing a deal on the Continental Hockey League.
By whom?
It seemed like it was a foregone conclusion among the speculators. I think it's going to happen.
Are you not getting a little bit, the KHL thing? I'm not over the KHL. I'm not trying to disrespect the KHL, but I'm getting a much better handle on the KHL. And Roman Cervenka was a huge part of that. A huge learning curve up close in front. I mean, here's a guy that led the league in goals. Here's a guy that was an all-star, a Golden Helmet winner, one of the best players. And we saw what he was all about here. Now he goes back there and richly, big, huge contract. And Pat, I'm just beginning to think that, Slava Voyanov, he stays here. Bobrovsky, right? Bobrovsky, big, huge contract to go back to the KHL. Datsyuk, like you say, Datsyuk, go home and finish off the career there. It doesn't seem to be those guys.
Yeah.
Right? It seems to be AHLers that are taking advantage of going over
Or fringe NHLers, Russian guys.
They can get $1 million contract rather than an entry level here, or a minimum here.
Not minimum for Datsyuk, $7.5 million per 3-year extension that kicks in after this season. That's what's happening with the Detroit Red Wings.
The Los Angeles Kings.
Speaking of Russian players and guys who had KHL links in their future, Slava Voynov has signed a new six-year, $25 million contract, which will give him an average annual value of just over $4 million per the next 6 years. Can't be officially signed until July 5th, but now Voynov has himself a new contract. Real coming-out party for him this year, and now he's expected to be kind of that. If Drew Doughty is the leader of that blue line going forward, Voynov will kind of be the number two with them. And he kind of really started to emerge this year as that guy. And you know, I think he's kind of on that cusp of he's not in the elite core of those defensemen. He's probably not in that second tier, but he's probably somewhere in that third tier of really good NHL defensemen.
Yeah, and I still think I don't know if we know his ceiling yet. You know, I said before, a little trepidatious about giving long-term contracts to, you know, somebody who's with the experience base that he has, but that's the way the NHL works.
Mm-hmm.
Could it go the other way? Sure, it could go the other way. But boy, that's not a bad little nucleus there of guys you had in the lineup in terms of Doughty, Voynov, and Jake Muzzin. Jake Muzzin had a terrific year.
He did.
Right?
And kind of started late.
You know, everybody talks about St. Louis and the young defenseman in St. Louis, Pietrangelo, you know, right at the top of that list. But boy, you know, the L.A. Kings have a nice little nucleus of defensemen, too.
Well, and that Alec Martinez is interesting.
Yeah, right.
He's got a long way to go in terms of his all. But as one of those 5-6 defensemen with some offensive upside, maybe second power play time?
Not in terms of style of play, but couldn't he be that Rob Scuderi where, you know, it takes a little while, but then, boy, what happened? Almost overnight, he became so important to this team the little things, the details that...
There's a lot of raw ability there,
right?
And I think that there's a lot of honing. But yeah,
and know, he's a couple
might
years
be a
away.
Late bloomer.
Yeah.
But he's already played some big NHL minutes.
He has indeed.
The Kings have got Slava Voynov under contract for 6 more years, and we will stay in California. That's what's happening with the Kings.
The San Jose Sharks.
And he can make it 5 years, $30 million for Logan Couture, who's led the Sharks in goals the past 2 years, $6 million per year as an average annual value on a brand new contract extension for him. It kicks in 2014-2015 as well. You were asking the question out in the bullpen, why is he not that 8-year guy? Why is he not Getzlaf, Zajac, Perry on the max contract you can have in the new CBA? My answer would be it gets him to 29 and it gives him one more shot at a major payday.
30 because he still has one more year.
Right, gets him to 30, so it gives him one. Right, fair enough.
But it doesn't matter. He'd be young 30.
Good point,
He'd be young 30. You know, again, is this a situation where Doug Wilson has said, our club policy moving forward is this is what we're going to give. You can give 8, but this is what we're going to give. Because that seems like the type of player that, and I don't know, maybe you disagree, but isn't this kind of the contract that sets the table in San Jose? Unless they get somebody bigger or they get somebody in the draft, you'd have to think, at least of the current incarnation of the San Jose Sharks, nobody's going to make more than Logan Couture, right? Are they going to give Joe Pavelski more? Are they going to give Antti Niemi more?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. Couture, you know, every team seems to have that guy. You know, in Calgary it was Jerome McGinley. Nobody's going to make more than Jerome McGinley, right?
Couture is the guy going forward.
You would think.
Thornton and Marlowe. And that's why...
I like the dollar, though.
$6 million?
The term I'm at, you know, I don't know why they didn't give him 8, but okay, they gave him 5, but I like the dollar.
The interesting thing for me with what the Sharks did this year as we wrap up around the NHL, I thought they turned a corner. Even though they went out in 7 games to the LA Kings and still have not been able to get to a cup final, I thought what Todd McClellan got out of this team in the 2 rounds of the playoffs, down the stretch in the regular season, and knowing that we saw pretty visible passing of the torch, we saw Thornton and Marlowe move over, still big pieces, but it was Pavelski and Couture at forward leading the way. It was Niemi and it was Vlasic who were the big contributors. And so Boyle and Marlowe and Thornton as not secondary pieces,
but
the leading forces, they were okay with it and still effective.
But it reminds me a little bit, we were talking about Datsyuk earlier, it reminds me a little bit of that ascension of Zetterberg and Datsyuk, you know,
from Shanahan and Yzerman.
Yeah, right. That, you know, Yzerman gets a lot of credit for the way he stepped back, and I, you know, it was more of a natural progression. I don't think it was a case of anybody being angry at the beginning of the year when we saw the San Jose Sharks. It was still Thornton, Marlowe, and Boyle, but by the end of the year, that had changed.
Yeah,
right?
So that is our look at the San Jose Sharks. That's our look around the NHL.
Now we go around Major League Baseball.
In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Corbin Knight, the newest member of the Calgary Flames.
Now we go around the PGA.
But first, we've got Rob Kerr's favorite segment.
The American League. The National League. This is Around Major League Baseball on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, so where are we starting? We're starting in Toronto.
Why?
Where the Jays shut out the Rockies last night for their sixth straight win. Josh Johnson tossed 7 1/3 shutout innings before giving way to Brett Cecil, who had pitched 2 shutout innings as well to secure the win. After the game, Cecil talked about the recent success and how it's changed the mood in the clubhouse.
Just seeing everybody happy in the clubhouse is quite a sight, you know, especially for what we went through earlier in the season. And now it's just... It's a lot more lively clubhouse.
Esmel Rogers gets the ball tonight for Game 2 of the series, while the Rockies will counter with Canadian Jeff Francis. In Atlanta, Braves catcher Evan Gattis was placed on the 15-day DL this morning with a right oblique strain he suffered when he tried to check his swing during the seventh inning of Monday night's 2-1 win over the Mets. The Braves recalled infielder Tyler Pastrnicki from AAA Gwinnett to fill Gattis' spot.
Gwinnett?
Is it Gwinnett?
Gwinnett.
AAA Gwinnett. Gattis batting.
Yeah, like, look, it's not like the Gwinnett tourism board's going to be lodging.
It's not like when Rob Tichkowski ripped Detroit. It's a little bit different when I call it Gwinnett instead of Gwinnett. Gattis batting 252 with 14 home runs, 37 RBIs, and that's in 53 games.
Tampa Bay Rays.
Well, there we go. Pitcher Alex Cobb is out of the hospital and feeling better, but Rays manager Joe Maddon said the road to recovery will likely be a long one. Whether Cobb, who sustained a mild concussion when he was struck on the right ear by a line drive off the bat of Royals first baseman Eric Hosmer on Saturday, will pitch again this season remains to be seen. Here's Rays manager Joe Maddon on the scary injury.
The ball just hit him. We had no idea where the ball had hit him. We just knew it was in the head. And Porter was out there actually almost before the out was made at first base. He was right on him. I thought our medical staff did a great job. I thought Ronnie spearheaded the entire moment to be out there like they did. They were very beyond professional how they dealt with the entire moment. When they rolled him over, you know, Cobra was talking, and that was a good thing, and they kept him talking, and obviously, like I said, their team did a wonderful job in regarding getting him off the field to the hospital and getting him checked out. So just one of those really, really bad moments. Everybody feels terrible about it, but it's part of our game, and it stinks sometimes, and it's a horrible moment to witness.
Rays playing in Boston right now. They're in a delay, bottom five. 4-1 the score in favor of the Red Sox.
That's one of the toughest things to watch in sports is the comebacker to the mound.
Oh.
Right?
It was horrifying. That one, and no knock on the one that Jay Happ had. That one was probably even scarier.
Yeah.
The Jay Happ one was pretty scary.
Yeah,
so, yeah, that was scary.
San Diego Padres.
Milestone night for them as manager Bud Black recorded his 500th career win thanks to a suicide squeeze in the 13th inning.
And nice. It's a good one, and it's a squeeze bunt. And the run scores, and Caster has an RBI bunt single. Finally, the Padres take the lead 4-3, and the catcher Andrew Kastner drives in the go-ahead run for San Diego.
A pretty dramatic way to get win number 500. Padres now within one game of top spot in the NL West, and finally,
New York Mets.
They're taking part in a day-night doubleheader with the Braves today, and Game 1 saw the Mets get by Atlanta by a 4-3 final score. Tonight, in Game 2 of the doubleheader, Mets number 2 prospect Zach Wheeler will make his Major League Baseball debut as the starting pitcher. He talked about his debut tonight.
So you try to go out there and just pitch and, you know, just perform, because even if they think about calling you up and, you know, you're thinking about that and you're not performing like you're supposed to, and you're not going to get the call. I don't think, you know, I'm the savior at all. You know, we got great arms here, and you know, you got great players. I mean, we might not be doing too well right now, but you know, I know the talent of these guys, and hopefully we can turn it around here soon. You know, I'm just trying to come up here and just help the team.
He's not the savior.
He's trying to help the team.
That's our look around Major League Baseball.
No A-Rod news.
Okay. Sorry. When we come back, as we move on in the 3 o'clock hour, the newest member of the Calgary Flames, Corbin Knight, is our guest when we come back. He's acquired from Florida earlier today. Let's hear what he's got to say about joining his hometown team. It's next on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Everything big going down. Talking Calgary Flames hockey in the afternoon. The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, a pretty big deal today is the Calgary Flames officially acquired Corbin Knight from the Florida Panthers for a fourth-round pick in the 2013 NHL draft, and now they have the rights to him to try and sign him to a brand-new contract after Corbin finished his senior year at the University of North Dakota. 49 points in 41 games last year, and now, time being, he's a member of the Calgary Flames organization. Welcome back to the program. Pat Steinberg along with you, and Corbin Knight joins us down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take hotline right now. Hey, Corbin, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. I guess your initial thoughts about officially joining the Flames organization?
I was thrilled. It was, the last 24 hours have been pretty crazy, but when I got the call after this afternoon, I was ecstatic. I'm definitely a very, very lucky guy to be part of this organization, so I'm thrilled.
Now, how did this whole process come about, the process in deciding that maybe Florida wasn't where you were going to start your pro career and that for the time being and right now it's going to be Calgary?
Yeah, it's, after the season was done, negotiations kind of took place there with Florida and, just things weren't matching up perfectly and it was just one of those things where we came to the conclusion that maybe it was time to part ways and so we kind of flipped the page there, and then, it was a pretty quiet period there for a while, and all of a sudden, about 2 weeks ago, my agent called me, and things were starting to heat up a little bit at the combine, so, and then ever since then, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind, but yeah, it's been great so far.
Now, you talked to a number of different teams after deciding that Florida wasn't going to be where you started your pro career, so how many teams did you end up speaking to?
I'm not exactly sure. My agent kind of, did most of it just because, I was still with Florida and, teams were very respectful of that and they didn't want to be, tampering at all. So,
right.
He fielded most of that stuff, but I know there were, like you said, a couple of teams that were kind of knocking on the door there.
So what ultimately made you say, Calgary is the destination that I really think gives me a good opportunity?
Well, it was a couple things. I mean, I've grown up around the city of Calgary here, and I've, been watching the Flames since I can remember, and it's, it's such a hockey culture around here, and, the tradition and, of this franchise is something special, so just the opportunity to be a part of that was, appealing to me. I'm pretty realistic with where I'm at, and, I want to have an opportunity to get that, and, I just felt that you're telling me, felt that, this is just the right place for me. So that's kind of basically what came out of it.
Corbin Knight is with us. He is the newest member of the Calgary Flames, joining us down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take hotline. Okay, so tell me about your 4 years at the University of North Dakota, because the last 3 years, you're a point-per-game guy, a great senior season for you. How do you look back at your time at North Dakota?
Yeah, going to UND was probably one of the best decisions of my life. It was, 4 years that I learned so much, both on and off the ice. I look from a player stand, and the improvements I made there while I was there, it was, I don't know if I would have been able to, develop anywhere else like I did there. So it was definitely, looking back, the right choice. And, it was 4 unbelievable years. It's sad it's over, but, I'm excited kind of for the next chapter to start here. But, yeah, it was an unbelievable 4 years.
How did you settle on there? Because, I know that you had a number of different schools that were interested in you when you were coming out of Okotoks. Why the University of North Dakota?
Well, it's funny. It's, there's a lot of, parallels between the Calgary Flames organization and, North Dakota there. They have such a rich tradition and, it's a hockey crazy town and, you get a sold out barn every night. So from a hockey player standpoint, it's the ideal place to play. And I just felt like, I was going in there, a young guy, and I wanted to develop and try to become the best prospect I could become. And I with my coaches there, Dave Haxtell and Dane Jackson and Brad Berry, they really put you on the right track and really work to develop you. And it's just one of those things where I felt that it was the best thing for my development, both as a player and as an individual. And they lived up to my expectations and exceeded them in every aspect, because what they did for me, I couldn't ask from anybody else.
You wore a letter there. You were a top 10 finalist for the Hobie Baker in your senior season, 49 points in 41 games. Why such a great year in your final year? What would you attribute that to?
Well, you know, we had an unbelievable team, I think, you know, all the way from our goalies out. I had a great supporting cast. It was pretty easy coming to the rink every night and playing when you know, I have a great team like I did, and, you know, the guys that just care about winning every night. It really made it easy for me. And like I said earlier with my coaches, they just put me in an opportunity to succeed, and they really believed in me, and it made it, you know, a lot easier than I know some other guys have it in other places, because, you know, they just lay it out for you, and all you have to do is work hard and, you know, try to take advantage of it.
Corbin Knight's with us, acquired from the Florida Panthers by the Calgary Flames this morning, joining us down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline. And you started your career, I guess your high-level career, with the Okotoks Oilers. You played a season with them or a full year with them in 08-09. I guess just looking back on your time with a really good Junior A organization, how important were the Oilers for you?
Yeah, that year was huge for me. I think, you know, before that, I was kind of a older guy playing midget hockey. I never made junior as a, you know, a 16, 17 year old. So, you know, coming out and out, you know, I missed my first draft year. I wasn't, you know, drafted my first draft year. So coming in Okotoks, you know, as an 18 year old, it was a big year for me, you know, just to kind of, you know, confidence wise, to realize that maybe I do have a future in this game. And then, you know, the same thing with opportunity there. They had a great opportunity for me, and I was able to, you know, play in every circumstance and really work on becoming a better player. And, you know, they had great relationships with, you know, Division I schools, and I was able to get in contact with a few, and it just kind of worked out well from there. So Okotoks was a huge part of my, you know, success and, you know, development as a player.
When did you, like, was there ever a thought that maybe the Western League or Major Junior was the route for you, or was it always focused on trying to go to the NCAA?
You know, it was tough for me. I was a bit of a late bloomer, you know, physically growing up. I was passed over in the Bantam draft, and I never really got any serious looks from, you know, Major Junior teams until I was about 17. And at that point, I kind of shifted my focus towards, you know, the college route. I'd met some people that have played there, and they spoke so highly of it. And my mom always, you know, pressed school on me to try to, you know, do as well as I could. And she always said, you know, if your career doesn't work out, you got to have something to fall back on. So that was a big reason, you know, to please her. And so it was just one of those things where it just felt right from a young age that, you know, I knew Major Junior maybe wasn't the route for me, and, you know, I could keep developing in college hockey.
Well, a lot of times when we talk to new members of the Flames organization, we ask, okay, so what do you know about this Flames team? What do you know about the Flames organization? Well, growing up in High River and playing in Okotoks, I imagine you know quite a bit about the Flames.
Yeah, I'm pretty, you know, familiar with everything there. And, you know, in the last couple weeks here, I've really got to know Jay and John and everybody in the office there and the coaching staff. And I've been nothing but, you know, flattered with how they've handled everything and how they've treated me. And it's really exciting to, you know, see them and listen to them talk about, you know, their plans and, you know, for the future of the Flames. And it's just an exciting time. I think, you know, they're really going in the right direction and they have the right personnel. You know, I can't say enough good things about the management there. They're really high character quality guys that, you know, really, really want to win and bring that back to Calgary. So, you know, to have the chance to be a part of that, it was just too good to turn down. So it was, you know, I've been thrilled with everything so far.
Do you have any memories growing up and watching the Flames? You turned 23 in September, so you were right there for the Red Mile in 2004. But anything that sticks out to you watching the Flames growing up?
I mean, I think when they went on the cup run, I think, I don't know if I'll ever forget that. Just, you know, it wasn't just Calgary. It was everywhere. You know, High River, everybody was just bleeding red and wearing red all the time. And I just, at that point, I was blown away by the passion of this, you know, Southern Alberta and Calgary. It's not very, you can't find very many places that are as passionate about hockey as they are in Calgary and the surrounding area. So I'll never forget, you know, the passion and how everybody just bleeded red around this area.
Corbin Knight's with us from the Calgary Flames, acquired by the team today from the Florida Panthers in exchange for a fourth-round pick in the 2013 draft. Joins us down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline. Okay, so you've got 4 years under your belt at the University of North Dakota, and you talked earlier about you're pretty realistic about where you are. So how do you describe yourself as a player right now?
I think kind of what I would say my game is I'm a two-way centerman. You know, I take a lot of pride in, you know, being good in both ends of the ice. I think, you know, that's something that's pretty crucial for a young guy trying to, you know, make his way in professional hockey, and so I've really worked to try and, you know, be good in both ends of the ice. And I think, you know, face-offs is something that I've really developed over the last couple of years, is, you know, trying to be as good as that as possible. So I think, you know, a two-way centerman is kind of what I'd label myself as.
And you were kind of cutting out when you were talking about, you know, you're realistic in where you are right now. So you talk about your projection. How close do you think you are to being able to be the type of player you think you can be at the highest level?
Well, you know, for me, it's a lot different than, you know, an 18-year-old coming out of, you know, the major juniors. You know, I'm 22 years old. I'm kind of an older prospect. You know, I had 4 years at college. So I think I'm a little different situation than those guys. I think, you know, I'm a little more developed. You know, I've been through a little bit more, so I kind of, you know, understand that. But, you know, I think I have a ton of respect for the NHL and the guys that play there. I mean, it's the best league in the world, and, you know, if it's easy, everybody would be playing there. So, you know, I know that going into training camp, it's going to be probably the toughest, you know, thing in my career. But I have goals set, you know, to make the team out of training camp, and, you know, I'm going to work really hard and, you know, do whatever it takes to do that. So, you know, it's just one of those things where hopefully I can, you know, keep having a good summer here and head into camp, you know, in good shape and, you know, confident, and then, you know, see what happens. Hopefully I can get a couple lucky breaks here and there, and, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, it's definitely my goal is to, you know, try to make the team out of training camp.
Well, I know the team is excited as well about the leadership side of your game. You wore a letter at North Dakota. How do you describe yourself as a leader?
I'm not really I wouldn't say I'm really a rah-rah type of guy. I don't think I have any great speeches that any guys really remember in the dressing room. I think, for me, I just, you know, I try to come to the rink and work hard every day and try to, you know, lead by example. I think, for me, that's just what I feel comfortable with and feel that I can, you know, bring the most to the dressing room. So that's the one way I try to lead, is just by example, because I'm not really a vocal guy and, you know, have great speeches or anything like that. So that's how I try to lead.
And now, and what's the rest of the summer like for you? You're working out here in Calgary, is that right?
Yeah, I work out here in Calgary at Crash Conditioning. So, you know, it's been awesome so far. And then, you know, hopefully we can get things figured out with Calgary, and I'll be at development camp in July. And then after that, I don't really have any big plans, just kind of keeping routine here and try to get ready for the fall.
Well, congratulations on joining the organization. Looking forward to seeing you at Prospects Camp in about a month's time. And certainly there's the tournament in Penticton, and then obviously training camp in September. So thanks so much for doing this, man, and good luck going forward.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you letting me come on.
Hey, no problem, man. There is Corbin Knight of the Calgary Flames, acquired today from the Florida Panthers in exchange for a fourth-round pick. Now, has he signed a contract yet? That's not been announced or anything like that? I think we're all pretty confident in the way that Jay Feaster is speaking, the way that he spoke right there, that is going to get done. And I don't really know if there's a whole lot of worry right now. I mean, he was talking about being at Prospects Camp, and he was talking about making his debut. And Jay Feaster, in his quote today, said, we look forward to his debut in a Flame sweater this fall. It seems like the confidence level is as close to a sure thing about him getting signed as there can be. But here's a guy that comes in. He fills that prospect age range in that 20 to 25 range, and he's got the Calgary Lynx. He had a very good career at the University of North Dakota, and he's a center iceman. He's got some size. They like him. They have been interested in him, and a number of other teams were as well. I'm interested and excited to see how it works out. We'll get Rob Kerr's take on this as the afternoon goes along. But there's Corbin Knight, the newest member of the Calgary Flames organization. Lots more still to come, including the future of Tuukka Rask with the Boston Bruins, a little bit of CFL talk, and we're getting closer to headlines at the top of the hour. You're locked to the Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hawks put Crawford back in there, and they drop the puck. Sharp will feed it in front. Stallberg tips it wide. 5 seconds. Sharp centers it. Knocked away by Raz. Puck loose. Bergeron looking to clear. Kelly pushes it to the corner, and that's it. The Bruins with a 2-0 win in Game 3, and they lead the Stanley Cup Final 2-1.
The Big Show continues. Brought to you by The Comedy Cave. The best comedy for the cheapest price. Only $10. Visit ComedyCave.com for daily specials and showtimes. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back. Steinberg and Kerr along with you as we get set for top of the hour.
Hall of Famers rush. Rock and roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
In spring. One of the most random,
I thought you were talking
bizarre
about
acceptance speeches I've ever seen.
Usually when you talk about the Hall of Famer, you're talking about Peter Maher. So no. I was like, the Hall
those
of Famer.
The Hall of Famers. Right
the there. Hall of Famer's Rush. I'm like, right. Peter Maher's a rush to the head. I wasn't quite sure what you're saying.
There you
go. So that is Dave Goucher's call on Sportsnet 960, the Fan last night. The Bruins take a 2-0 win over the Chicago Blackhawks in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final, 2-1 series lead. The reason I play that is because it finishes off a 28-save performance for Tuukka Rask, mm-hmm. who is in need of a new contract. And
really?
You know,
hardball. Play hardball with him.
The belief is that maybe he was playing a little hardball. Maybe during the season there was, you know, they were pretty far apart, the Bruins and Rask was. And now, after what he's done in the postseason, you'd have to imagine the Bruins are maybe a little bit more willing to move closer to what he's asking for.
Does he get the Conn Smythe?
I don't know if he gets the Conn Smythe. I mean, I think he's absolutely in the mix. And if he continues to play the way he has in this final series, he's kind of one of the front runners, I would believe, at the very least.
I think he's up there.
I think Krejci's in that mix for Boston. I think Bergeron might find his way into that mix for the Bruins. But I think Rask has to be there too, absolutely.
I do. Yeah. Again, another difficult decision. I don't, he's more in the Logan Couture, less in the Slavovoyanov for me. Just using the two guys we've been talking about today. Couture's established himself. I think Couture's going to be in the Olympic
conversation,
if not on the team. I think Rask has proven, post Tim Thomas that he is capable of it. I guess you can make it. Do you make the case that, do it again? I don't know. I mean, that's my kind of point on Slavovoyanov is that, I think Slavovoyanov is going to be a very good defenseman. A little leery about 6 years, just because you'd like to see a young guy continue to progress. Does he take a step back? Right. Whenever you sign a goalie, whenever you sign any player, you run that risk. But yeah, I think he gets the payday. Absolutely.
Does he get a contract similar to Marc-Andre Fleury, $5 million per? That's kind of the comparable to me, and I think that you might see it come close to that.
Have we established the comparable yet? Because his agents would probably argue that it's a new era, it's a new collective bargaining agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I had this point on a couple of guys this summer. Is do they set T.J. Brody looking for a new deal? Roman Josi gets one in Nashville. They're not the same defensemen, exactly the same. They're the same age. They've got roughly the same number of games played. Same situation. Does Josi become a comparable for Brody? And I'm not I don't mean that in the literal. I just mean that in the terms of the business of this. I think you set a whole bunch of comparables. Logan Couture set a comparable, right? Does Rask's group look and go, geez, we're going to be the new benchmark? I don't think anybody carries the flag forward like that. I don't think there's that kind of thinking. But he will be, won't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Right,
and certainly if he, if he has a giant downturn in the way he plays in the final games of the series, maybe it's the conversation changes a little bit.
But he got.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I think he's if he wins the Conn Smythe, it's going to be a real interesting negotiation for Trelli.
Yeah, absolutely. And
is
he's
he a guy
able,
you give term to?
I think that you're probably, if you're the Bruins, you're probably more apt to give him money as opposed to term and maybe try a bridge deal and see if 2 or 3 years, if he can continue it, and then try and go the long-term route.
Boy, it's starting to get riskier and riskier, isn't it? Or maybe I'm just growing up and paying attention to adult problems. But it sure seems like it used to be, oh, no, just pay him.
Yeah.
Whatever. How long?
Got to keep him.
15 years. You got to keep him, right? Now, as we've watched some of these longer contracts play themselves out, you do get the sense that, it is to the benefit of the player for the term. There's a huge benefit to the player.
Yep.
But is there necessarily to the team? Right?
We've seen probably as many cases where it's not great for the team giving a big term as it is great for the team. And we'll talk plenty about Corbin Knight in the 4 o'clock hour, but you just heard the interview there. Anything stick out to you from what he had to say?
No, I mean, to me, you're in that position of you're excited when somebody wants to be here, and there's no doubt that, Corbin Knight wants this to work. He's got, great ties to the community. I'm lucky enough to know his father, and I know how proud Jack will be of his son, obviously, and has been. I know this will mean a lot to the family. I know you get that criticism every once in a while. Where are the local players? Where is it, you know? What?
Thanks.
What the? It's nice to have local. It's but what you want is success. And to me, okay, let's see. Let's go. I was just looking at the numbers. I mean, drafted in the same round, Roman Horak. You know, drafted in the same round, Thomas Vinsuer, who just went over to the KHL. Mm-hmm. The Flames drafted Spencer Bennett. Never did anything with Spencer Bennett. You know, you can look at the compensation, a fourth-round pick this year. This is a guy that had you taken, and this is a bad example because it's just, you know, further proof that you threw away the pick. But had you taken him in the fifth round, and he was coming out and coming to Calgary, this would be a guy you'd be trumpeting, wouldn't you? As an organization, boy, we can't wait to get Corbin Knight here. We drafted him, and he's developed, and now he was a Hobie Baker finalist. Look what he's done. It's not unlike the conversation we've had about Johnny Gaudreau. Fourth-round pick, oh, wow, we can't wait for him. He's really, you know, you really hang your hat on those late-round picks. If this was a guy you drafted, you would be doing the same thing right now.
Yep.
So I'm not terribly broken up about giving a fourth-round pick, and let's see if they don't somehow recoup it. You know, if the Flames are with seven picks, we believe, right now going into the draft. If they pick eight players, then they've recouped it.
Yep.
So, no, I'm excited for the fact that a young guy is coming back to his neighborhood, and you know, former UFA Bison, played out in Strathmore, played his midget hockey, played his junior hockey, went away to college, has come home. His family is here, family with great roots in the community. I love Jack. Jack, I run into everywhere. You go to minor hockey events, there's Jack. You go to a small town dinner in Nanton, there's Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So they're good people, right? You want good things to happen to good people. From the Flames' perspective, good for them. They need Pat. I tweeted this earlier. This is really, really what the Flames want to do this summer is collect Corbin Knights. They would like to find as many Corbin Knights as they can. Somewhere in that group, you're going to find some to play. They would really like to start adding more and more into that those shelves. Put more right. And more. Look, and you heard Corbin talk about it. My belief is I don't think, you know, I don't know what the negotiation was with Florida. But at some point, you begin to look and go, where am I in the depth chart here?
Yeah.
Where am I going to get the best chance? And if I can play, I want to go where I can play. Guess what? This is it.
Well, and right? You know, Jay Feaster talked about the two of the things that they wanted to kind of do at the end of the year. A, get players that kind of taste and
yep.
give them the going into the summer, yep. what they need to know about what it's going to take to succeed in the NHL, but I think and maybe they weren't as vocal about this, but I think it was also a message saying, hey, you can come here, you're going to play, and if you're a young player, you're going to get an opportunity here
in the
near future.
But the same thing in Abbotsford. From what I hear, I don't think Abbotsford's going to be full of veterans. It's going to be a young team. It's going to be a team that Troy Ward is really, it's going to be about developing.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be the Chris Kalanoses and the older players, the Joe Callahans and those types of players, the goalies, Brust and Taylor, the older guys, the AHL veterans. This is going to be a young team. So one thing to make this team in play, sure. But it's another thing to know that you can go to Abbotsford and get a chance to play, and that's going to happen as well. What's he going to be? Time will tell.
Yeah.
I'm just, to me, this is what this organization desperately needs to do. Needs to continue to add Corbin Knights. Needs to add them on defense. Needs to add them in goal. Needs to add them up front. Love the skill set. What he's done in college, terrific. Now he gets an opportunity to come to the pro level and try it out. Is he going to be on the opening day roster? I don't know. Will he be here at all this year? I don't know. My guess is he'll be given every opportunity. We'll have a much better idea when we go to prospect camp.
In about a month.
Yeah, and then probably another guy that'll go to Penticton and play in the rookie tournament.
Yep.
And, of course, you will be in New Jersey with the Flames website.
Yes.
Boomer and I are heading down for the station for the 2013 NHL Draft. We've got four great sponsors. Pete the Plumber's with us. Varsity Chrysler's with us. Bluegrass Nursery, Sod and Garden Center along with us. And Shaganappy Insurance Services, LTD. Get the personal touch for your home, auto, or life insurance. The friendly staff at Shaganappy Insurance Insurance, ready to answer your call and guide you through your needs. Like Shaganappy Insurance on Facebook. So the Flames have made one deal involving a pick. Corbin Knight comes in. Fourth round pick goes to Florida. What else would they do on the draft floor or before the draft? We're all over it here at Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Headlines in 1 minute on Sportsnet 960.
This is CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, from Calgary, Alberta, owned and operated by Rogers Communications. This is Calgary traffic from the 660 News Traffic Center for Fido, giving low prices a good home.
On the track over Sun Elta, looking at Crowchild Trail, a bit of a pretty good drive so far. This from Glenmore Trail right through Kensington Road. And again, looking at just one or two light stops up the hill as you approach 24th Avenue. Heading southbound on Crowchild, some bunching traffic now. This is because of a broken down bus. This as you approach Glenmore Trail. Moved into the right shoulder lane. Looks like have some assistance as well. But it is, again, back.